this is one of the few issues where we've been, I would say, totally unified on advocating for the extension of these tax credits.
Hey, we've got some breaking news. The federal government is still shut down. Hey, I'm Captain Obvious, a.k.a. Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Welcome to Prairie Beat, and yes, I do wish we had something breaking the other way today.
Yeah, someday, maybe, right? But heels are dug in D.C. Fingers, maybe even middle fingers, are pointed or extended, and there seems to be no end in sight. Just yesterday, House Speaker Mike Johnson was saying this may end up being the longest shutdown in history.
Yeah, and you know, that's really saying something. Back in December 95, January 96, the government shut down for 21 days. And if you'll recall, those were the days of Bill Clinton versus Newt Gingrich. There was a lot of kind of hand-wringing going on during that time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's been shutdowns before and since that one, of course. But the only shutdown longer than that one happened in December 2018, January 2019. And that was during the first Trump administration. That shutdown lasted 35 days, coming down to disagreements over the U.S.-Mexico border wall.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Now, this shutdown, 16 days of this game of chicken and counting, with no one willing to budge on extending tax credits instead of middle fingers for the Affordable Care Act.
Precisely. Now, the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, a lot of times it gets referred to as Obamacare. It was passed in 2010, and then it started getting implemented in 2014. Obviously, it's always been a point of contention along party lines in the federal government, but that's news to nobody. Here at Prairie Beat, we aim for brevity, so we don't really have time to go into all the provisions and details about the ACA, but just really quickly, it's estimated that it reduced the United States uninsured rate by half, and among the public, it's actually become pretty popular.
Yeah, that's no small feat either, considering the environment of healthcare delivery and insurance companies. If you go back to the beginning of Obamacare, where people were showing up in town hall saying, "Don't give me healthcare," it was crazy. Now it's like a very popular program. Costs have consistently gone up. Now these tax credits, designed to make the ACA premiums affordable, yikes, they're set to expire at the end of this year.
That's right. And so this week, I made a call to a North Dakota official who knows a little bit about this.
John Gottfried, North Dakota Insurance Commissioner.
He was elected to this office back in 2016. He's a Republican. And right now, he's currently serving as president of the National Insurance Commissioners Association, which is a membership organization of 56 commissioners across every single U.S. state and territory. And all of them, red, blue, whatever, they all support an extension of these tax credits. He told me they've had their eyes on them since January because they saw that expiration date looming. And extending the tax credits was not part of the famed One Big Beautiful Bill over the summer. So it was left as part of this continuing resolution process to keep the government funded this fall. And Gottfried said there are plenty of discussions to be had and ideas bounced around about how to reform healthcare and health insurance in the United States. But not right now.
The issue we're having is we're now 2 weeks away from open enrollment, and now is probably not the time to have that debate. And so we're advocating for at least a short-term extension, get us another year so consumers aren't impacted, and we can have that debate about how do we affect these in the long term.
Yeah, it's that time of year again for sure. I've seen some other news coverage on this, Danielle, from other states, people getting those letters in the mail about their potential increases in health insurance premiums. And honestly, some of these increases sound ridiculously absurd. They really don't make any sense at all. What sort of difference would consumers be seeing here in North Dakota?
Gottfried says this specifically affects North Dakotans who purchase their health insurance on the state marketplace, and he says that's roughly 39,000 residents here. And he estimates that on average, if a family is paying about $800 a month for their health insurance right now, they'd be looking at a new premium of $2,000 a month.
That's a pretty big delta for us. I don't have an extra $1,200 that I can absorb into my monthly budget. And the really concern we have is that healthy individuals may go out and shop, see that sticker shock, and then walk away from the market. And what that does is that makes that rest of that risk pool sicker and more costly for everybody else. And so it really kind of begins a spiral of this process and ultimately harming everybody. And so these subsidies have been a good way, again, to insulate these individuals and hopefully try to attract young and healthy individuals onto that marketplace.
Yeah, those numbers are pretty comparable to what I've been seeing reported in other states as well. And many other states are reporting their premiums would increase even more, which is even scarier and more absurd to think about.
She can eat nothing but a bird.
So what we have here seems to be, as you said earlier, this impasse between Republicans and Democrats in Congress. The Republicans control every branch of government and don't want to continue these subsidies. It's pretty clear. But to fund the government, they need 60% approval, which I would think would leave some room for some bipartisanship. No?
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats are saying, you need us to pass this continuing resolution, or CR, and we need you to give us this one thing we want as a compromise. And of course, there's a lot of messaging going on, blame, finger-pointing on both sides. It's very frustrating. I mean, I can imagine if you're a government worker how you must be feeling as a pawn at this point. I mean, there's a lot of frustrating aspects of a government shutdown always, but ultimately, it's also affecting everyday people.
That much is absolutely true. And when I spoke with Commissioner Gottfried, he said the same thing.
At the end of the day, consumers are the ones who are really holding this bag on this marketplace. And so I don't believe that farmers and ranchers and small business owners are going to care who is right or who is wrong whenever government reopens. They're going to look at their health care premiums and say, I've now got to pay, double or triple what I was paying last year. And how can my family afford that given some of the issues within the ag markets?
Yeah, I think he's right about that. I'm not going to lie, Danielle. This all makes me a bit nervous.
I asked Commissioner Gottfried what he thinks might happen, understanding, of course, he doesn't exactly have a crystal ball. He can't see into the future. But he does say that he's hopeful.
Something will pass. Something will come to fruition by the end of the year. It just makes it challenging for consumers who have to go out and shop for these policies, knowing when to shop, knowing what the prices are going to be.
Well, from his lips to Congress's ears, I guess.
He did say as well, the way healthcare and insurance is going, it's really not sustainable, period. So it's a very serious issue. But his department has been working on state-level solutions. They did a landmark study on costs back in 2019, and they have a number of recommendations. He says we can make changes. It just takes political will, and there are challenges in this rural state. Change makes people nervous.
Well, and eventually, if we're paying nearly $2,000 a month for health insurance, I can't imagine it's not going to affect the economy overall. It's one of those things, healthcare versus housing, things that families have to decide. That's the calculus.
Got to make decisions.
Yep. So what else have you, Dave and Todd, been working on this week?
What the legislature is finding out is that it's expensive to run two separate systems.
The president of the union representing North Dakota's public employees says they're watching a legislative study on changes to its retirement plan.
We're having a mild outbreak in the southwestern part of the state.
North Dakota Game and Fish is offering refunds to hunters in one corner of the state where deer have been getting sick with what's called EHD.
It's really important that we give those kids an opportunity to learn more and more about the world around them.
And the State Ag Department is offering first through third grade teachers butterfly pollinator kits. They can apply right now.
Well, as usual, no matter what day it is, there's always something happening here in North Dakota. Thanks for all that, Danielle.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
All right, that'll do it for this week's Prairie Beat. I'm Captain Obvious, Eric Deathridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.